Hi, listeners. I'm your host, Rebecca Kelly, and welcome back to The Station, a fiction podcast about a girl named Ida who's trapped all alone on board a dying space station called the Delta. Now, before we begin, I want to take a quick moment to thank my listeners. I thank you all for tuning into this program. As some of you may know, this podcast is based on a book, a novel that I've written. Over the next few weeks, I'll work on finishing up the final editing for that novel, and it will be coming out in print and electronic copy for the world. So stay tuned for more information on the upcoming release of the book, and I just want to say I'm so excited. Okay, now back to the story. So we know from prior episodes that New, Ida's mother, was with her for the first 15 years of her life on board the Delta. And we also know that something happened to New, leaving Ida alone, trying to find her way back to the surface and escape her makeshift space prison. So in this episode, we're going to find out more about what actually happened to New. Are you ready? Let's jump right in. Here is chapter 32 of The Station. There was something wrong with New's body. She began to notice a sharp, metallic taste in her mouth. Then her skin started to feel cold and clammy, like damp metal. Despite the fact that it was primarily made of aluminum, the station didn't normally smell like metal. The air quality systems had strong filters to remove dust and contaminants from the air. She and Ida were diligent about cleaning those filters on a regular rotation. In the past, they would have replaced them, but after they ran out of replacements, they had to rely on thorough cleaning to do the job. At first, when she noticed the metallic smells, New had investigated as if there might be a problem. She inspected the consoles and service module and the mechanisms which kept the G moving, but she wasn't able to find a source. Ida didn't smell it either, which also puzzled New. Her left breast began to swell about a week after she noticed the smells. It became tender and warm to the touch. The swelling extended under her armpit. At first, she thought maybe she was having an allergic reaction to something. The medical journals she consulted said that sometimes allergies could develop over time. In order to rule out an allergic reaction, she started experimenting with cutting different foods out of her diet. No matter what she tried, the breast only got worse. The skin started to become greasy and waxy, and it took on a pale orange color. By the time she did an ultrasound a few days after she stopped eating peanuts, a large lump had developed in her armpit. The ultrasound revealed two other small lumps deeper within the breast tissue. "What does it mean?" Ida asked her as they both peered at the ominous ultrasound picture. New sighed. She didn't want to worry her daughter, who was just a few months away from her 15th birthday, but the news was not good. "Well, it means that my breasts are changing, and it's happening really fast," she said. Ida, of course, knew about breast cancer. She also knew that because they lived in space, under a constant barrage of radioactive particles, that cancer was an omnipresent threat. "So," New continued, "I'm going to do a little research this afternoon and see if I can't find out what type of lumps they are. They might be benign." She looked again at the ultrasound on the screen in front of her and said, "As far as the changing color and texture, that could have to do with a blocked lymphatic duct. Not necessarily something to worry about, but perhaps something to attend to." It wasn't a coincidence that the word cancer hadn't come up as she discussed the ultrasound results. New was a firm believer in the power of thoughts and words. Ida noticed this, of course, but she nodded in agreement that additional research was required and continued on with her work schedule. Later that evening, she and New sat at the table in the kitchen, each researching the archives on separate holo screens, looking for matches to New's symptoms. Finally, New slipped her fingers across the top of her screen, turning it off, and slouched back in her chair. "Well, I keep getting hits for inflammatory breast cancer. The signs are all there, but we can't be sure without a sample to biopsy," she said. She pulled her chair closer to Ida's and brought up the ultrasound pictures on the screen. "See, look here. She pointed at the lumps on the ultrasound, specifically the one under her arm. This is a blocked lymph node. That means the cancer has spread and is now blocking the lymph system to the breasts, which is why it's so swollen and irritated. But here, again, she pointed at the picture, this time at the two smaller lumps that formed below the lymph node. These two appear to be part of the lobes, indicating a lobular malfunction, so lobular carcinoma, if it is cancerous. Ida nodded. She had figured this out on her own, of course, but she let Nu explain it. Often, when Nu needed to figure something out, it helped if Ida kept quiet and let Nu talk it out to herself. Ida hoped desperately that she would come up with a plan, now that she knew more or less what she was dealing with. I have a plan, Nu said, as if on cue. Ida leaned in to get a better look at the ultrasound pictures as Nu's fingers rapidly switched from one to the next, demonstrating the abnormalities. I'm going to do a biopsy on the lump closest to the surface, here. I can make a small incision here, and after I take out a portion of the lump, I can examine it under the microscope to get a better look. If it is cancerous, I can start chemotherapy treatments. There are multiple rounds of adriamycin and cytoxin here on the station for just such an emergency. Ida looked at her mother, who was deep in thought, still staring at the photographs on the screen. A tiny seed of panic had planted itself in Ida's belly, making her feel almost like she was going to throw up. There's plenty of lidocaine on board, Nu continued, still not taking her eyes off the pictures. I'll do the surgery myself. Nix can help. He's good at standing around and taking orders. You won't even have to be involved, Ida. I can do it all with his help. Her words sounded sure, but the more she spoke, the more desperate she sounded. Until Ida had finally had enough. Look, Ida said, you aren't going to do it by yourself. I'll do it. As she spoke the words, her knees bounced up and down under the table. The prospect of performing a breast biopsy on her own mother was terrifying. There was no way she was going to sit around twiddling her thumbs while her mother operated on her own breasts. No way. Absolutely not, Nu growled. I'm going to do it. I know more about physiology than you do. It will be fine. It'll be easy for me to do it. Honest. It was true. Astronauts were actually required to obtain a bachelor degree in physiology, in addition to an advanced degree in a specialty of their choice. NASA and other space agencies were working on long-term manned missions to the outer solar system. In order to go way out there, you had to know more about the human body. Okay. How about a compromise, Ida said. You can be awake to help navigate the procedure, but I will do the work. She understood how stubborn her mother could be, and she wasn't going to give in so quickly. The thought of Nu operating on her own breast made Ida's already churning stomach flip on its side. Nu sighed and looked into her daughter's eyes. She didn't want to admit it, but the odds of a successful operation were greater with Ida's help. She suddenly felt weary, like the air had been let out of her. All right, she said. If you think you can do it, that's what we'll do. Let's take a night to rest and do our research, and we'll do it tomorrow. Ida nodded, stood from the table, and walked to her sleep compartment. She could think better in there. Nu watched her go and turned back to her holoscreen to make some notes and do some more research. She knew she wouldn't get much sleep tonight. She only hoped that Ida would. Ida lay in her bed many hours later, the curtains drawn to make it as dark as possible, but she did not sleep. What Nu had failed to mention during her self-diagnosis was that inflammatory breast cancer was hyper-aggressive. By the time symptoms made their appearance, it had already spread, and it was clear from the large lumps forming throughout the breast and armpit that it had, indeed, spread. If they did nothing, the cancer would rapidly spread, and Nu would only have a few weeks left. She shuddered at that thought and closed her eyes tight, imagining that her eyelids were the gateways that kept the terrifying thoughts out of her head. She'd spent the last 6 hours researching the operation and learned every detail of how to perform it, what nerves to avoid, what blood vessels she needed to watch out for, how to recognize the lump from the surrounding tissue and cut as much of it away as possible. Before long, she fell into a deep, restless sleep. The next morning at 06:30 GMT, Nu sat upright on one of the examination chairs in the medical bay, tucked between the kitchen and the sleep compartments in the G. The medical bay had one exam table near the wall on one side and two exam chairs on the other. The walls were covered in cabinets to hold medical equipment and supplies. There was a small sink and a refrigerator-freezer combination on the floor of the room. This was where they kept blood and tissue samples. On the other side of the room was another larger refrigerator that held various medicines. Nu sat in the chair, staring out the tiny window implanted into the wall next to her, watching the sky and the earth rotate, her own mind wandering. It was Ida who brought her back to the moment. "We should start," Ida said, working methodically on the countertop, laying out surgical tools on a sterile pad. She wanted to make sure everything was at her fingertips, which were currently trembling. She quickly thrust them under the hot water streaming from the sink faucet so that Nu wouldn't see her shaking. But Nu understood her daughter too well and asked, "Would you like to take something to keep you calm during the procedure? I think there's some Valium in that cabinet over there." "No," Ida said, shaking her head. "I'll be okay. I don't want to get drowsy." Nu nodded and Ida finished washing her hands and pulled on a pair of pale, powdery latex gloves. She began thumping on a hypodermic needle, staring intently at the clear liquid inside. It was lidocaine, a strong local anesthetic. She had a large enough dose to numb the entire breast, and she prayed that it would work for her mother's sake. As she turned to administer the injection, Ida suddenly felt calm. Her hands steadied and her heartbeat slowed. She had done ample research in the hours before, so she knew exactly what to do. She had located the lumps with an ultrasound and marked their location on the breast using a small black marker that she found in one of the drawers, although she did keep the portable ultrasound on the counter behind her, just in case. Her mother, so strong and seemingly invincible, sat there reclined in the chair with a surgery drape covering her body, a cutout exposing the breast, which Ida could already see was badly misshapen and a strange shade of orange. Nu looked up at Ida as she approached with the scalpel in hand and nodded gently at her daughter to begin. Thanks for listening, sci-fi fans. In the next episode, we'll return to the present and revisit Ale as he tries to understand this new relationship he has with the girl in space. The two of them are becoming closer with each passing day, and it's starting to mess with his mind. You don't want to miss it. See you then. Bye.